Shotgun snap. Pass to Demaryius Thomas. Thomas at the one and steps into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver. Peyton Manning's fourth touchdown pass of the first half. He's got 55 on the season.
Matt steps, going to sail it deep. Jones is there. It's caught. 20, 15, 10, 5. Julio Jones, touchdown Atlanta. What a catch. 63 yards.
Job in the gun. Throws it right side. Wide receiver screen. Andre Johnson across the 40, 35 to his right 30. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. The Texans win it. Andre Johnson, 48 yards. My goodness. Houston wins it overtime.
Time for another edition of the JMRA podcast as we get you going on what's happening in the world of NFL and fantasy football and the like. Of course, today, as we talked about the last time out when we were discussing running backs, we're going to cover the top 20 wide receivers in fantasy football this time around and go over some news and notes as well. First, a couple of social media notes. Again, you can check us out on joemontanasrightarm.com, the website there. Just, cleaned up and tweaked and added some things to the article we put up a few years ago about Brett Favre. See, when this whole legacy nonsense with Peyton Manning started a few years ago, Brett Favre kind of got swallowed up in that vacuum as well. And we wanted to kind of judge Brett Favre's place in history. So rather than just sitting in front of a computer and mindlessly going over, oh, these guys are the top 50 quarterbacks of all time, what I decided to do instead was this. I came up with a method. It's just, you do what you want. You come up with a bunch of tables and say, okay, if we were having a party, which guys would we invite to the party for quarterbacks? So those are the only people invited. So the article delves into where Brett Favre would sit. Would he sit at the kiddies table? Would he sit at the big boys table? We have all that stuff lined up. So just reposted that with Russell Wilson, Joe Flacco, and some of the newer Super Bowl winners thrown into the mix and where they fit in the landscape of NFL lore as it relates to quarterback. So it's a pretty entertaining time putting that together. So check that out if you get a chance. Also on Twitter, you can check us out at Joe M's Right Arm as well. Again, at Joe M's Right Arm. Tweeting about the NFL, professional wrestling, Brazil's terrible defensive display in the World Cup a few days ago, and much, much, much more. Also on Tumblr, ilikefootballandstuff.tumblr.com. So all over the place and all in an effort to educate you about all things related to the National Football League. And that's where we will, of course, begin the proceedings, the latest news and notes in the National Football League. And I wanted to make this a little bit wide receiver centric because we're covering the top 20 wide receivers. Now, the most recent news as we're recording this on a Thursday is the information regarding Andre Johnson. He is asking the Houston Texans for a trade, which is going to be a little bit of a headache for the Texans with salary cap issues and things like that, trying to find a trade partner and all that good stuff. We'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about Andre Johnson because he is in the top 20, based off of what he's done over the course of his career and, of course, last year heading into this year as well. The first story that we're going to talk about is this really somewhat sad now story about Josh Gordon, who was arrested during 4th of July weekend because of another run-in with the law. He was pulled over in Raleigh, North Carolina, doing 50 miles per hour in a 35 mile per hour zone, and then it was realized, oh, hey, he also was driving while intoxicated. So he's going to get tagged with a DWI and also speeding charges as well. That stuff happens to people, but unfortunately for him, this is, again, another guy who just, he doesn't get it. Suspended for a couple of games last year. He had another violation, failing a drug test heading into this season. So his suspension hearing for appeal was supposed to take place later on in July. But now, who knows? He was looking at a year suspension even without this arrest. And now, who knows when or if ever he'll be back on a football field. And it's sad because that was one of the great seasons in recent NFL history for wide receivers that he put together in 2013. And now all that's going to go out the wash. And for the Browns, this is what happens to Cleveland sports. You know, as soon as something good happens, something good's taken away. And, you know, it's funny because you have all the news with LeBron James maybe pondering a comeback to Cleveland in his free agency campaign. You know, you just expect something bad to happen to Cleveland all the time. And this is one of the reasons why. Again, this has been on decades, going on for decades now with this city. And it's funny, I posted the article about Josh Gordon getting arrested, and one of the readers commented, oh, it's been a bad couple of days for Cleveland sports because, you know, Johnny Manziel also in the news as well, looking like he's rolling a dollar bill in a bathroom. I know what you do with that, but I'm not going to cast allegations on Johnny Manziel. It looks weird. We'll just say that. So the comment said, oh, it's been a rough couple of days for Cleveland sports. And then someone chimed in and said, a rough couple of days? How about decades? And he's right. It's been an awful run for Cleveland sports. Really, for, gosh, you want to go back to the 70s? I mean, really, since Jim Brown won the Cleveland Browns won the NFL title in 1964, what positive things have happened for Cleveland? Went to the World Series, got on the doorstep of going to the Super Bowl a couple of times, only for John Elway to end it in horrific fashion on a couple of occasions. So it has just been a nightmare for Cleveland sports, and this is just the latest. And you feel bad for Browns fans, you do. You almost want something positive, substantially positive, to happen for them just to see how they would react. But the latest with Josh Gordon, certainly not good for his long-term prospects. So that's what's happening right now as it relates to all things NFL, with wide receivers in particular. One other bit, the NFL Network last night concluding their top 100 players list as they went down the top 100 players in the NFL heading into 2014. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Peyton Manning is number one at the top of the list. The highest-ranking receiver, number two, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, topping Tom Brady, who finished at number three on the top 100 countdown. There was some conjecture by Dante Whitner of the 49ers suggesting that the players aren't actually making the list, which you're saying to yourself, well, who cares? Well, the idea when they show you and parade this list around is that this was selected by the players. Whitner claims that no one actually voted for the 49ers. He's not on the list. Obviously, that's one of the reasons why he's upset. But nobody, according to him, within that locker room actually voted, which kind of, to me, it cheapens it a little bit. Like, either have all the players do it, or most of the players do it, or some of the players from all the teams do it, or just have the NFL Network do it. To be honest with you, if the players did it, I think the list would be more, like, ridiculous. Because I think there's a, to me, you're going to relate to how good somebody is to how well they played against you in most cases. And with this kind of setup, I don't know. Is this the list that's put together? I'm not sure that's the list put together by the players. I think that's my point. You just look at it, and it looks basically like too much chalk for it to be something put together by the players, because they're out there, whereas the NFL Network guys are not. So, you know, they're just like us. They're watching, whether they're a former player or what have you. They're just watching the parade go by at this point. So, interesting bit with the top 100 closing out, and I'm happy about that because that means we are one step closer to training camp, which begins very soon for NFL teams around the league. So you're looking at that, starting within about 2 weeks or so, and then Hall of Fame game, and before you know it, inside of 2 months, we are heading towards the opener between the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks. Well, you heard at the top of the program, the series, the montage of clips featuring some of the top wide receivers in the NFL that, of course, hey, if you heard them there, they're probably going to be on the top 20 list, and that's what we'll go over in a second. And one of those guys, Andre Johnson, you'll hear about him and much more, but let's take a brief pause for the cause here. on the JMRA podcast. Stay tuned. We'll have more headed your way after this.
Rodgers gets the snap. Blitz is on. Rodgers scrambles
He's
left. Winds up.
Rainbow. Cobb.
He's got Cobb at the 10 to the 5.
Yes!
To the end zone. Touchdown and a dagger. Oh, my goodness. An NFC North Division championship dagger of 47 yards.
Back here on the JMRA podcast as we get set to bring you the top 20 wide receivers in fantasy football. By the way, before we get going, I wanted to offer a quick note on fantasy drafts because I was reminded of this over the last couple days. You get texts and emails from friends about, hey, when do you want to do the fantasy draft, blah, blah, blah. Do not, because I know some people do this, and personally I think it's insane. Don't do your fantasy draft in the month of July. That's nuts, okay? Wait until you have all the information. Don't do it in the beginning of August. The earliest you should do a fantasy draft is maybe the second to last week in August. People doing fantasy drafts in the first week of August before you've even seen anything, you're out of your mind. Do not do any of that stuff until you have 75% of the information. I would say this. If you're going to do a fantasy draft, wait until that you're looking at about second or third week of preseason where the teams have sent out their starters for three quarters. When you see that happen, then you should be toying with the idea of having a fantasy draft, okay? You don't want to get in one of these spots where you get in a draft, take a guy in the first round, and he tears up his knee. It's happened before. So you don't need that type of thing happening. So wait, hold it off, if at all possible. Wait until Labor Day weekend. I'd wait until the whole preseason's done. So that way you have all the information. You know who's going to be on the field and who's not. Last year, I had to do a fantasy draft during preseason. And as I'm sitting there drafting a guy, I think it was Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers. He gets hurt. And he's out for like the first, he's out for 3 to 6 weeks trying to get healthy and get back in the swing of things. And that's what happens when you have drafts during the preseason. Like, you're wasting a draft pick on a guy who gets hurt. So luckily he came back and had a decent rookie year. But you don't want to get in these spots where you have guys who you take and then they end up, tearing their leg for, and they're out for 10 weeks or the year, or they get arrested or something like that. So try to keep it simple. Okay, before we get to the top 20 receivers, we are going to take a slight detour of sorts. Now, as I'm recording this, I'm on vacation. And I am sequestered away somewhere in Atlanta, Georgia, or whatever. I am joined by a couple of special guests. Now, the reason I'm joined by them is because, number one, they think I'm a terrible host and that I need help to do this podcast. But primarily, they have seen the list of the top 20 receivers, and they have taken great exception to the list because I left out somebody that they like on the list. And that is Mike Evans, who was taken 7th by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 2014 draft going into his rookie season. I'm joined by Dylan and Cameron, two fans of the National Football League. You have questioned my football knowledge by leaving Mike Evans out of the top 20. Dylan, would you like to address this first? Why should Mike Evans be in the top 20 list?
He's better than some of the people that are on the list. He's
why?
He's pretty quick.
Okay.
He's tall. He has a good vertical. He can go get it, and he can help you convert the third and longs, the place that you have to convert to win a game.
You're not at all scared by Josh McCown being a teammate of his quarterback.
No, he did pretty good with Chicago. He's a veteran. A lot of these wide receivers are coming in young, so they have to have a few veterans on the team to help them get through the year.
All right. I feel like that's a fair and credible defense. I disagree with you a little bit. But, Vincent Jackson's on the team, so he's going to command a lot of attention. But it's a fair case made for Mike Evans. Cameron, do you have anything you'd like to add? No, she has nothing that she would like to add. I think, Dylan, you stole all the thunder.
Okay.
You're okay with that? Okay, well, let's get into the list then and take a look at the top 20 receivers in fantasy football. And we will start with a guy who who at number 20, unfortunately for him, became more famous for what happened to him at the end of the postseason rather than anything he did during the regular season. And yes, that is Mr. Mediocrity himself, Michael Crabtree. I'm not calling him mediocre. Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks did that. Michael Crabtree coming in at number 20. He's the primary guy out in San Francisco. They got Stevie Johnson there along with Anquan Boldin. They just acquired Stevie Johnson a few weeks back. He's going to join that receiving core. Now, one of the interesting notes coming out of San Francisco is there's some rumblings that they're going to shake up what they're doing offensively. And I don't know how much it has to do with Colin Kaepernick signing that $100 million contract or Frank Gore's age, what have you, but yeah, it's probably time they start doing things a slightly different. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a team that's been in the NFC Championship game 2011. They were there again in 2012 to go to the Super Bowl. And then in 2013, they're a fingertip away from maybe going back again. And now, you know, three times, it's hard to get to four straight NFC Championship games. That is not easy to do at all. If they can pull it off, you'd have to think, in order to get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, I think it's very hard to go to the well with the same system and not win with that system and keep doing it the same way over and over and over again, expecting a different result. So Crabtree, one of the guys who may very well prosper from a change in philosophy out in San Francisco, he's going to really be needed in order for them to be productive and be a better passing game. But you wonder if the accuracy of Colin Kaepernick can help that out. Kaepernick really struggled at times to be an accurate passer. And also, one of the other things, too, about Crabtree that people, I think, forgot by the end of the season was this is a guy that was coming off of a torn Achilles injury. So he came back during the course of the season. So you'd think he'd be a little bit in better shape in terms of getting acclimated quicker to the offense and being ready to roll once the season is underway. So he comes in at number 20. Number 19, we jump over to Indianapolis with T.Y. Hilton. Over 1,000 yards receiving last year for Hilton. And for really a offensive attack in Indianapolis that is growing under the leadership of Andrew Luck. But last year, some changes because of the injury to Reggie Wayne tearing up his ACL. And he comes back this year, and what was interesting for Indianapolis was not only do you have Wayne coming back, but you also have Hakeem Nicks into the fold. Is that going to take away from touches for T.Y. Hilton? You have to think that's one of the big concerns for him going into this season, because with Reggie Wayne, you know, he's going to command attention, but at his age, can he come back quickly from that torn ACL injury? It normally takes guys a year. And especially with a guy a little bit older, you wonder if he can come back quickly and still be effective. So that really puts the onus on Nicks and Hilton again to be productive. And I think Hilton has that opportunity to be productive. And I am expecting big things out of Mr. Luck this year. And I think T.Y. Hilton will be a big, big part of that. On to number 18 on the list. It is Victor Cruz of the New York Giants. And Cruz has regressed from his first season to last season. He had that monster year in 2011 when the Giants won the Super Bowl. And then, of course, the year after that, the Giants kind of lagged. And then last year, Cruz banged up, ended up with under 1,000 yards receiving. And look, when you take a look at the Giants, I think, and this goes really in tied into with what's happening with a couple of quarterbacks around the league, some of these teams are just not putting up offensive lines in front of their quarterbacks that are competing. You know, Matt Ryan has that issue in Atlanta, that offensive line. That got him sacked 44 times last year. Eli Manning with the Giants, that line really was not good. And they have jumbled some things with the wide receiver position. It's going to be very intriguing to see if Victor Cruz can get back to that 2011 form. Hakeem Nicks is not there. So this is on him, really, and along with that younger set of Giant receivers to produce. So a lot of pressure on Victor Cruz heading into this season, and he has to produce. Otherwise, the Giants are really going to have a hard time moving the football through the air. So I like him coming in at number 18, and you look for him to have a bounce-back season. I don't think he's going to get back to 2011, but I think he still should be one of the better receivers in the NFL. And with Eli Manning, this is a Giants team that really needs to stop turning over the football. That has been a big problem for them here in these non-playoff seasons over the last couple of years. Number 17, Randall Cobb broke his leg last year, and I think people are still waiting for Cobb to be that number one threat for the Packers. I think it's going to be hard for either Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson to really fully break away and establish themselves as the number one, because Aaron Rodgers likes to spread the ball around, and as long as that happens, you'd think that Randall Cobb might be the benefactor of Rodgers throwing that football around, but there are a lot of mouths to feed there in Green Bay. The trick with Green Bay has been health. You know, going back to when they won the Super Bowl in 2010, keeping all of these guys on the field at the same time has kind of been the issue. You know, when JerMichael Finley was a big part of that passing attack, keeping him healthy and on the field was an issue. Obviously, Jordy Nelson has had his ups and downs with health, and now Randall Cobb as well. So, Dave, everybody on the field operating, that's one of the best offenses in the National Football League. And if that's what we're getting, then yeah, Randall Cobb at worst should be the 17th ranked receiver in fantasy football. He probably should be higher based off of how much success Green Bay could have throwing the football. Now, a couple of mitigating circumstances for Cobb to think about. Number one, as we said, health. You want to see him stay on the field. This is a guy, he's a smaller receiver. Can he take the hits? Can he take the pound? And the other one, too, is kind of a subtle one, and that's Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy at that running back spot really did a nice job for the Packers in his rookie year. If he continues to be successful, that's going to mean less production from the passing game. So that's where things kind of get a little hazy potentially for the Packers. So that's something to keep your eye on. So Randall Cobb coming in at number 17. Number 16, this is kind of a gamble because this guy doesn't stay on the field. Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin of the Seattle Seahawks. We saw what he did in the Super Bowl last year. He, I thought, really helped swing the tide and pacing of that game outside of Seattle's defense, just slapping Peyton Manning around for four quarters. Harvin with that big kick return, also with a couple of key runs to set up the Seattle offense in the first half. I think when you look at his production and if he stays on the field, can kind of survive the migraine headaches and some of the things that have hounded him in the past, that's going to be a big key for Seattle because, again, couple of changes and challenges for the Seattle Seahawks. They're talking about doing a running back by committee. I think there's some concern there. You haven't seen anything significantly public about it, but Marshawn Lynch is getting to be about that time for him. You know, you get to this point with running backs where they get into the postseason and they have the 300, 330, 340, 350 plus touches during the course of the season because of getting into the playoffs. And over time, that gets to running backs a lot quicker than it does to other positions. So I think them running the football might be a little tricky this year. They don't have Golden Tate coming back. So Percy Harvin, really, he's the guy for Seattle's receiving corps. And you can't be the guy if you're not healthy. So with Harvin, if he's there and running right, then everything should be all right for Russell Wilson and company. But that's the big challenge. If Percy Harvin's on the field, he's going to be one of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL. Pierre Garçon, monster year with the Redskins last year, and this is going to be one of the guys who you want to see how much of an issue the personnel becomes for Washington because you have RG3 back and ready to go. You have Alfred Morris at the running back spot. And then they add DeSean Jackson in the offseason. Now, Jackson, when he played opposite of Jeremy Maclin, typically what happened was Maclin had the catches, Jackson had the big plays and the yardage. And with Washington, if you look at that type of role playing out, you know, that obviously to a degree is going to benefit Pierre Garçon, but you wonder for Garçon if he can actually produce as well as he did last year. So if Garçon can again deliver, you know, he's one of the top pass catchers in the National Football League a season ago. If he can do that successfully, that could give Washington one of the more devastating pass offenses in the NFL with Garçon and DeSean Jackson. So those two comboing up, I think, again, it kind of works out the way of Jackson kind of specializing with the big plays, and then Pierre Garçon maybe not having the success he did a season ago, as he really put together one of the stronger seasons of his career, really the best season of his career as a wide receiver. So you wonder whether or not he can repeat that moving forward with the Washington Redskins. A lot of it's going to depend on whether or not DeSean Jackson can draw coverage and attention away from secondaries, which you would expect that he can. Jackson had over 80 catches last year. If he can produce that again for Washington, that should open things up for Pierre Garçon. Number 14, Andre Johnson. And here's where we talked about earlier the Andre Johnson situation. Johnson has asked the Texans to trade him away and out of Houston. He wants out, not happy with the direction of the team. I think he's kind of unhappy with the quarterback situation, in particular in Houston, and I can't say that I blame him. As far as him getting traded goes, here's where you have to, I think, be a little concerned. Throughout the annals of NFL history, trades are not all that common. And as you get closer towards the season, trades with big-name players become even less common. And when they do happen, it's very hard for those guys to really come in and just knock it out of the park. You know, when the Patriots ended up dealing Randy Moss a couple of years ago, actually back during the 2010 season, he really didn't have much of an impact the rest of the way. He ended up on Minnesota, they ended up on Tennessee, and then, you know, eventually found his way to the 49ers, but he headed out of the league soon after that. So that type of thing did not work out. Andre Johnson, in his mid-30s, you wonder how much he has left in the tank. If he gets traded, you'd hope it's to a quarterback who has a lot of experience, who can produce. One of the teams being thrown out there, the Patriots, if he goes to New England, yeah, you'd like his chances to produce a little bit more than you would if you were in Houston. So I think you have to take a look at that as a factor as far as where you want to take him in a fantasy draft. If he ends up staying with Houston, I think the 14th position, that's the upside. Because I don't think with that type of upheaval happening, you know, you have Bill O'Brien coming in as head coach, there are going to be a lot of changes there as the season wears on, you think. And, you know, if Andre Johnson is a part of that, great. But if he's not, I think you have to be worried about the trade partner for the Texans. If he goes somewhere else, again, you hope it's with a productive quarterback. Otherwise, he's going to have a hard time duplicating those 100 catch totals of a season before. On to number 13 and Keenan Allen of the San Diego Chargers. Allen, one of the most productive rookies last year in the entire NFL, actually finished up second in Rookie of the Year voting to Eddie Lacy of the Green Bay Packers. Allen, a year ago, 71 catches, just over 1,000 yards, receiving an 8 touchdown catches. Also had a nice outing against the Denver Broncos in the playoffs as well. Here's the thing with Keenan Allen. I mean, he's the guy out there in San Diego. I don't expect any type of revival, a significant revival of Antonio Gates, who's heading into the twilight of his career. So this is Keenan Allen's setup right here to really be the guy in San Diego. And if Phillip Rivers can really duplicate what really was one of the best years of his career a season ago, then Keenan Allen should be all right. So you're looking at back in top 10 for Keenan Allen, and this is where we get into the territory of guys who are going to be your number one receiver on your fantasy roster this year. So Allen is right at the outskirts of that at number 13. And again, one of the most significant threats for the San Diego Chargers. So he should be that yet again heading into the 2014 season. Number 12, the aforementioned Vincent Jackson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jackson, as you heard about earlier, he'll be joined by Mike Evans, the real standout wide receiver from Texas A&M, who should help Jackson form a really formidable duo out there in Tampa Bay. 1,200 yards receiving last year, 7 touchdown catches, 78 receptions with the Bucs, and again, with what you would have to say is some spotty quarterbacking. No offense to Mike Glennon, but not very good. So Josh McCown coming into the mix this year, and that should help out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a great deal. And I think 12 is right around what you take a look at for Vince Jackson. So Jackson, this season, I don't think Evans' arrival will take away significantly from what Jackson does. I just think Tampa's offense is going to be better. So you'd expect him to be right around that 10, 11, 12 spot again. Number 11, DeSean Jackson. Now, the deep threat ball is DeSean Jackson's bread and butter. And really, when you look at last year, 82 catches, 1,300 yards receiving, average 16 yards per catch, 9 touchdowns. He goes from a very good offense in Philadelphia to another very good offense in Washington, potentially. Jay Gruden there in his first year, you wonder if there's going to be a learning curve there with the offense as a whole for Washington. If there is, then it might be a little bit of a slow start with that Washington offense altogether. But here's the thing about DeSean Jackson that would cause me for some pause. Number one, I've always thought, personally, in the real-life realm of the NFL, forget about fantasy football for a second, I always thought DeSean Jackson was a one-trick pony. The guy goes deep, that's what he does it almost better than anybody in the NFL. If he's tasked with doing something else, expanding his role a little bit, you wonder what you're going to get out of him. Which begs the question, the ultimate question, why did the Eagles get rid of this guy? I know he's a headache from the off-the-field perspective. You know, the article about some of his gang dealings that was on NJ.com a few months ago, shortly before the Eagles decided to cut ties with him. The NFL is not running amok with significant playmakers from the wide receiver standpoint. As we go through this list, you can kind of get that vibe. You really wonder why the Eagles would get rid of a guy who has Pro Bowl talent to that extent, who accounted for almost 1,400 yards receiving last year, caught over 80 passes. Goes to Washington in a situation where it looks good on paper, and it could very well develop into something great, but a lot of things have to go right in order for that to take place. From RG3's health to the development of the Washington offense with new coaches in place there. So Jackson at number 11, I think that's a reasonable position for him considering what he can do if everything's right for him. All right, halfway through our top 10 of the top 20 receivers in fantasy football. We'll take another quick break, come back with more here on the JMRA podcast. Stay tuned.
Dalton heaves it down the right side toward the end zone. It is knocked up in the air. Oh, A.J. Green makes the catch.
Oh man!
A deflected ball winds up in the hands of A.J. Green as the clock hits zero. A 52-yard Hail Mary is answered as Andy Dalton does have the arm into the wind. And now an extra point by Mike Nugent could force overtime.
Unbelievable.
Back on the JMRA podcast as... I do. Back here on the JMRA... Man, it is hot in here. Good Lord.
It's
cold.
It's
cold in here? No, it is. It is hot, brother. It is hot in here, man. I'm leaving this in the podcast. It's hot. We get to the top 10 of wide receivers in fantasy football as we get to number 10. Now, I was speaking with Master Dylan during the break, and he said that I should have referred to Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson as an elite duo, an elite tandem of wide receivers in the NFL. I can't do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, Mike Evans has not played a down of football yet. And also, there's an elite duo in this top 10. Well, could be elite, depending on how this next gentleman plays this year. And that is Alshon Jeffrey of the Chicago Bears. Jeffrey, 24 years old, but had a big year last year. 89 catches, 1421 in receiving, and 7 touchdown catches. Now, this is a couple of factors in play here. Number one, Jay Cutler slinging the football to him. Also, though, if you're a Tampa fan, by the way, this is also where you might want to pay attention. Josh McCown threw the football, too, last year as well, and he did quite well with that. So you take a look at Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Marshall had more receptions, and Jeffrey handled the yardage situation. So I think you could very well see a repeat of that. Now, the issue becomes, again, we've talked about health a lot, and that's... Look, your fantasy season is going to get... Someone's fantasy season that is listening to this podcast right now, you're going to get ruined. You're going to lose money because someone gets hurt. That happens. this is one of the teams where you have to be worried about that, because the Bears have a guy in Jay Cutler who sometimes has a little bit of a sketchy health history. If he stays on the field, then you have two of the best receivers in the NFL who can produce for you. If not, eh, that's where you have to be worried. So Jeffrey coming in at number 10. Number 9. This is, I would say, this is the one guy I wrote down on this list, and I said, man, I don't know if I should have done that. And that's Larry Fitzgerald at number 9. Michael Floyd actually led the team last year in receiving. When do we ask the question of whether or not it's not the quarterback, it's Larry Fitzgerald getting older? I tend to think that it's the quarterbacks, but we're starting to see some evidence now where Larry Fitzgerald here, it's just, you know, two straight years of under 1,000 yards receiving, 954 last year, played in all 16 games, caught 10 touchdown catches. A lot of them were short of the short variety, 82 receptions last year. So you're not getting the home run hitter version of Larry Fitzgerald, and I think that's what has to concern you a little bit moving forward if you're a Fitzgerald fantasy owner. So is he a number one wide receiver in fantasy football? Maybe, but if you take him, I'd double back and take a receiver in the next round just to cover yourself if you can. Number 8, Jordy Nelson. One of Aaron Rodgers' top targets in... Yes, he's number 8, Dylan. One of Green Bay's top targets. Nelson, a long-distance threat for the Packers. And again, you look at what he's done for Green Bay. 85 catches last year, 13-14 in yardage, 8 touchdowns, receiving at 5 games of at least 100 yards. So Nelson's one of the premier receivers in the National Football League with Aaron Rodgers. You can pretty much figure out the math there. He should be amongst the best, again, with Aaron Rodgers pulling the trigger out in Green Bay. Now on to one of the forgotten men, at least in my opinion, in the NFL last year, and that's Antonio Brown. Pittsburgh not as really successful as we've seen from them in years past, but Antonio Brown, man, he had a monster year last year. 110 catches, 1499 in receiving, and also 8 touchdown catches as well. Over 20 plays of 20 yards or more. 23 to be exact. And when you take a look at some of the big names in the NFL, that was actually more than Calvin Johnson last year. So he made some big plays downfield. And hey, not a bad guy at all to take a look at as a potential number one receiver for your squad. Again, the Roethlisberger is the iron horse out there in Pittsburgh. So that really, I think, that's one of the main things you can hang your hat on as far as looking at a guy who had a big year last year and who can probably repeat it this year. On to number 6, Dez Bryant. If he can stop yelling at people on the sideline, well, he could be one of the best in the NFL. What? You don't like Dez Bryant at number 6?
Number 6.
How's he not number 6? You think he should be higher?
He should be
lower. Dez Bryant should be lower than who?
There's a couple guys that he's been too low.
No, no. Dez Bryant's at number 6. However, if Tony Romo gets hurt, Dez Bryant's like 20th. Okay? So, Tony Romo's health, the back injury, that situation, it's a lot different when Kyle Orton's throwing him the football versus Tony Romo. Love him or hate him, Tony Romo is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and Dez Bryant's a lot better off if Tony Romo is throwing the ball to him. So, Bryant last year, a very good year for him, 93 catches, over 1,200 yards receiving, 13 touchdowns. He had 14 plays of at least 20 yards and 4 games of 100 yards or more receiving. Number 5, Brandon Marshall. Now, you look at these guys in the top 10, and we obviously talked about Fitzgerald maybe being a guy who takes a slide. Marshall could be another one of those guys, too, because of the success of Alshon Jeffrey. So we've already talked about Jeffrey. Kind of you can apply the same comments pretty much for Brandon Marshall. Marshall is not as big of a long-distance threat potentially as Alshon Jeffrey, so I think that's where it gets you. If you're in a PPR league, points per reception, I think maybe Marshall has a little bit more value for you if you value receptions a lot in your league. So at number 5 is Brandon Marshall. Number 4. This comes with a quick story. I was out a couple days ago at the driving range. And my dad and I were hitting around some golf balls, and we ran into this guy. My dad just happened to strike up a conversation with a guy, a local Atlanta guy, who absolutely positively detests the Atlanta Falcons. And he said that Matt Ryan wasn't going to get it done. I'm going to clean up what he actually said. It was not nice. But one of the problems with Matt Ryan is his ability to stay upright. And if he can, this guy at number four, Julio Jones, stands to have a great year now. Jones is coming off of a foot injury, which took up most of his 2013 season. Broke his foot in the fifth game of the year last year. Averaged 17 yards per reception a year ago, which is actually more for him than really in the last couple of years. So when you take a look at that, that's something to be very positive about in the long run, because if you prorate his numbers, that was going to be well on his way to a Pro Bowl year. He had 41 catches for 580 yards in five games. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but if you extrapolate that out over the course of 16 games, that's a pretty good season. You get that type of Jones healthy, and again, this is a top premier wide receiver in fantasy football. So taking a look at number four, Julio Jones. And again, Ryan is not Tom Brady. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Drew Brees. But he's a guy who you can, I think, be pretty confident in that Julio Jones can certainly prosper with him at quarterback. Number three, A.J. Green. A.J. Green was a tremendous producer last year. 98 catches, over 1,400 yards receiving, 11 touchdowns, 6 games of at least 100 yards receiving. The only red flag is literally the redhead throwing in the football, Andy Dalton. Sometimes we get good Andy, sometimes we get bad Andy. If we get bad Andy, that's not good for A.J. Green. So if Andy Dalton is consistent, then you're in good shape with A.J. Green. But if Andy Dalton is the Andy Dalton we saw during that playoff game against the San Diego Chargers, there are going to be a lot of problems in Denmark, if you know what I mean. So A.J. Green at number three, you should feel pretty confident in that. Number two, Demaryius Thomas of the Denver Broncos. Here's what Demaryius Thomas has done in his 2 years with Peyton Manning throwing him the football. 94 catches in 2012, 92 catches in 2013. 1434 in receiving in 2012, 1430 in receiving in 2013. He has caught 24 touchdown passes in the last 2 years. There's really not much we can say other than that's really good. That's tremendous. And the only reason he is not number one is because of the gentleman who is at number one, which we'll get to in a second, who is not of this planet. But Demaryius Thomas lights out with Peyton Manning as his quarterback. You take a look at Denver's offense and what they've done here in the offseason. I think the only thing you have to be a little worried about is that change with Eric Decker leaving. You have Emmanuel Sanders now there in Denver, so there's going to be a little bit of a change. And two, now also, over time, as we've seen many times with these offenses that like to spread you out, NFL defenses catch up with it, and they figure it out. The question is, can they figure out Denver enough to kind of slow that production? That was the most productive offense in the history of the National Football League last year in the Denver Broncos. And Demaryius Thomas has been a part of that the last 2 years now. Sooner or later, that train's going to stop. Now, the question is, will that stop Thomas's production as well? So, with the personnel change, Sanders in for Decker, also the Wes Welker situation, whether or not he can stay on the field, all those things could have an impact on Demaryius Thomas. But you can't argue with that production. You gotta go with him, I think, as your number two receiver. The only other guy who you could really make a significant case for in that spot is A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals. And that leads us to number one, yes, Megatron. Calvin Johnson at number one, atop the fantasy football wide receivers food chain. Again, not really a tremendous amount of insight needed for this. Calvin Johnson is just, he's awesome. And with Johnson, 14 games played last year, 84 catches, 1,492 in receiving, 12 touchdowns. The thing I'm not a big fan of, and I've talked about this in blogs and stuff before, is I don't like taking guys after they've had career years because or all-time years because normally the only way to go from that point is down. You're not going to go up. If you have a 2,000, you run for 2,200 yards, run for 2,100 yards, whatever, what have you, you're not going to run for 2,400 yards. It's just not going to happen. Same thing, it can be applied to receivers. Calvin Johnson, 1964 in 2012 in receiving yards, and he dips by about 500 yards the next year. He was still pretty good. Not the best in fantasy football last year, but one of the best. So Johnson's going to be a monster again this year with that passing offense in Detroit, and I think you expect him to be right at the top. And really, he's one of the two guys, I think, you could maybe make a case for and say, yeah, you take that guy in the first round of your fantasy draft when you factor in all positions. Calvin Johnson's an easy selection, I think, in the first round. Maybe you can make a case for Demaryius Thomas, depending on the size of your league, but Johnson absolutely positively should go in the first round of your fantasy draft. And with that, that'll do it for the JMRA podcast this time around. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Dylan and Cameron for not falling asleep during the podcast, although Dylan is almost he's almost out here.
Oh, you're awake.
I'm still awake.
I just got comfortable.
Oh, you just got comfortable. Well, thanks. I'm glad I didn't put you to sleep here over the course of the last 40 minutes plus. Well, next time around, I think we're going to combo some things and kind of go hot button with tight ends, kickers, and defense. Because at this point, like, quarterbacks, receivers, and running backs, that's what's going to win you a league by and large when you take a look at the total picture. Tight ends, kickers, and defenses, that's the stuff that kind of grinds out playoff wins for you. So we'll go over that stuff next time around as well as we get closer to the first week of the NFL preseason. So, a reminder, you can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Also on Twitter, joemsrightarm, again on Twitter, at joemsrightarm. And on Tumblr, if you'd like to be amused with an assortment of materials, pop culture, football, sports, what have you, we give you a little bit of everything there on ilikefootballandstuff.tumblr.com. And you find that title funny, do you? Well, just for that, I'm gonna go post on it for the next 20 minutes.
No!
All right, fine. We'll go make apple pie or something. All right. You want to play? No, we have to make. I've been promising to make people an apple pie for 3 days now. I got to deliver at least at some point.
Dude, we're going to eat it
to 10. No, it's not going to happen. We're going to eat it right before you go to practice. Okay. Well, I got to go. I got to go make apple pie and get people ice cream and stuff. So until next time, have a good one, everybody.
See ya.